Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, as well as, folks, it is now or never. I can't emphasize this enough. And so I have not had time to go back through the elections. There's still, and as a matter of fact, I was kind of chastised, rightfully so, when I contacted a few people that the ballot counting, or at least the reported ballots processed, was under 70%. And so, there is a good likelihood. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, most people are like myself. I actually vote on election day. And so if you happen to live in some of these campaigns and candidates were in the states that are mail only. If you do not live in a mail only ballot state, do not let your state go to mail-in only ballots. That is the ultimate path, and you've basically locked yourself out of having an honest and open election. You've basically allowed the political machine to seize full control of your election. So we have to be very, very guarded as to how we allow them to rule us. Remember, this is a representative government. This is not a government that has, you know, this carte blanche power to do what they want to do, whether we like it or not. You need to start understanding the right of petition and demanding that our voting system, that currently, the way it's being used and executed, needs to be shut down. That we need to go back to the old paper ballots and the counting. I would much rather see a 2020 election with dangling chads than I would with calculations, forecast, all of those types of things that they get because machines are doing it not for us, but for somebody else, so that they can basically set the tone and convince us the outcome. I believe it was Stalin that said, the people who vote don't decide. It is those who count the vote that decide, something like that. So you need to start getting involved. It is now or never. And yesterday, the 9th of November, was the day we were supposed to start kicking off. That means you need to start getting engaged in a constitutional campaign in supporting the Constitution. There's all sorts of things that you can start doing. And so if you want to get involved, let us know. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org would be a great start. Or you can just call our comment line, 425-270-5416. We're going to get into the fishery bounties, and we might actually get into Madison's essay on property. Yeah, that's what it is. And so we'll see. We'll see if we can get into that. I don't want to go down any other tracks or any other paths or go down any other rat holes just due to the fact that we want to get through this content, because at the end of the tunnel of going through this content, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to fire hose you with these constitutional campaigns, what you have to do, and everything else. But the reason why this stuff is so important, this content is so important, is it reinforces what we have been taught, or it gives us a view on some things that we have lost, you know, full sight on, like property. Madison's essay on property helps place context to how the framers viewed property. And you'll be surprised, it doesn't just have a deed or a title. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions, I'm sorry. And so we also, hopefully, once we get done with the Madison's essay on property, we'll go into the Whiskey Rebellion. And then I think we're going to jump into the 1798 resolutions and the the process of republic review, because I think it's really important that you understand that they already concocted, they were already inspired by the divine hand of providence of what precisely we needed to do that would conform and comport to this Constitution. So, with that, let me just dive straight into the cod fishery bounties. And so, we kind of left off with Madison kind of standing up. And when we look at what was being stated, there was this concept that the General Defense and Welfare Clause in Article 1, Section 8 provided this open door for the federal government to do things as a general welfare excuse, or using that as an excuse or a power to, you know, provide these types of things. Now, you got to be clear here, folks. It was already, this is why we go through the ratification base, because Madison, Randolph, and others clearly testified that that clause granted no power. That clause, the General Defense and Welfare Clause, at the very beginning of Section 8 in Article 1, granted no power. So Madison gets involved in this debate where they're trying to justify this, and basically shuts this whole debate down by giving them the view of what ends up happening when they actually start assuming they have a power that doesn't exist. Now, one of the other things I want to kind of mention is that when we look at the mystical clauses, the General Welfare and Defense Clause, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, as well as the Supremacy Clause, we start actually, you know, seeing how these four, and this is why these four were identified by these brilliant men as real problems, or what could easily be perceived as portals of power. Now, as they debated this, they were very clear that it didn't grant those powers. The problem we have, folks, is people are still not thinking, even back then and today, people are not thinking of our Constitution as an enumerated Constitution or as a power of attorney that delegates specific powers. In other words, it's a limited power of attorney. There was no intent whatsoever in that document to offer any general powers. Now, if we make the mistake, if we're stupid enough to allow an amendment to pass, it becomes problematic if we actually delegate general powers. In other words, if we actually had an amendment that allowed them to spend money based on their taxation, that not to exceed a certain amount, it would basically give them the general authority to spend money on things that they have no authority to spend on. It wipes away the concept of an enumerated or limited power of attorney or limited delegation of power. So this is why we don't, if we allow a balanced budget amendment to actually get passed, we have just, excuse the French, we have just raped ourselves. There's a better way of putting that, but I think you understand exactly what I'm saying. Because I need to place real context to this. This isn't something that will be pleasurable for America. This will be absolutely rape and torment if we allow government to have general powers. Look, folks, they're already assuming powers that they don't even have. When we actually grant them general powers, then they can start running rickshaw over us, and we can no longer point to and reel them back in once that bell is rung. But the beautiful thing, folks, is the bell has never been rang. They've just assumed, and the states have just let them do all of these things. Doesn't make it constitutional. That's the whole beauty of this entire thing. So Madison steps up after, let me see, I think it was Livingston that spoke last, and I think it started off with Mr. Lawrence. No, it was Livermore, then it was Mr. Lawrence, not Livingston. And I believe Livingston was up in New York. But anywho, this is what Mr. Madison says. In the conflict, I feel between my disposition on one hand to afford every constitutional encouragement to the fisheries and my dislike on the other of the consequence apprehended from some clauses in the bill. I should have forborne to enter into this discussion if I had not found that over and above such arguments as appear to be natural and pertinent to the subject, others have been introduced which are, in my judgment, contrary to the true meaning and even strike at the characteristic principles of the Constitution. Let me premise, however, to the remarks which I shall briefly offer on the doctrine maintained by these gentlemen, that I make a material distinction in the present case between an allowance as a mere commutation of modification of a drawback and an allowance in the nature of a real and positive bounty. I make a distinction also as a subject of fair consideration. So we'll take it back up from I make a distinction also, because I want you to get your head into what Madison is really driving here. Again, we've already had this really well defined during the ratification debates, and now he has to come back and remind everybody the limitations here. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so picking it back up again, this is Madison going on and saying, I make a distinction also, as a subject of fair consideration at least, between a bounty granted under the particular terms in the Constitution, quote, a power to regulate trade, close quote, and one granted under the indefinite terms which may have been cited as authority on this occasion. I think, however, that the term, quote, bounty, close quote, is in every point of view improper as it is applied here, not only because it may be offensive to some and, in the opinion of others, carries a dangerous implication, but it also because it does not express
the true intention of the bill as avowed and advocated by its patrons themselves. For if, in the allowance, nothing more is proposed than a mere reimbursement of a sum advanced, it is only paying a debt. And when we pay a debt, we ought not to claim the merit of granting a bounty. It is supposed by some gentlemen that Congress have authority not only to grant bounties in the sense here used, merely as a commutation of drawbacks, but even to grant them under a power by virtue which they may do anything which they think conducive to, quote, general welfare, close quote. This, sir, in my mind raises the important and fundamental question whether the general terms which had been cited are to be considered as a sort of captation or general description of the specified powers, and as having no further meaning and giving no further power than what is found in that specification, or as an abstract and indefinite delegation of power extending to all cases whatever, to all such at least as will admit the application of money, which is given as much latitude as government could well desire. Now, this is where he starts really getting, this is not a closed fist, you know, where he starts pummeling and punching, but this is an open hand slap. I, sir, have always conceived, I believe those who proposed the Constitution conceived, it is still more fully known and more material to observe those who ratified the Constitution, the states, conceived that this is not an indefinite government deriving its powers from the general terms prefixed to the specified powers, but a limited government tied down to the specified powers which explain and define the general terms. The gentlemen who contend for a contrary doctrine are surely not aware of the consequences which flow from it and which they either admit or give up their doctrine. It will follow in the first place that if terms be taken in the broad sense they maintain, the particular powers afterwards so carefully and distinctly enumerated would be without meaning and must go for nothing. It would be absurd to say first that Congress may do whatever they please, and then that they may do this or that particular thing. After giving Congress power to raise money and apply it to all purposes which they may pronounce necessary to the general welfare, it would be absurd to say the least to superadd a power to raise armies, to provide fleets, and etc. In fact, the meaning of the general terms in question must either be sought in the subsequent enumerations, which limits and details them, or they convert the government from one limited, as hitherto supposed, to the enumerated powers, into a government without any limits at all. It is here to be recollected that the terms, quote, common defense and general welfare, close quote, as here used, are not novel terms first introduced into this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their construction as well as known to the people of America. They are repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation, where although they are susceptible as a great latitude, as can be given them by context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such powers as is now assigned to them. Now, what I want to take a quick second, folks, and I need to help highlight this for you, that you understand that what this says right here is gold. And so, hope you understand that what he's basically saying is that when you look at this very specific part of the Articles of Confederation,
there was never any context to giving him that kind of latitude. And as he says, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such powers as is now they're trying to assign to them. So Madison goes on and says, on the contrary, it was always considered as clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. I mean, wow. Can you see how all of this, this isn't just banter. This is admonishing. This is clearly Madison basically slapping them into, you know, are you aware of how stupid you're being? Kind of thing. He goes on and says, I asked the gentlemen themselves whether it was supposed or suspected that the old Congress could give away money of the states in bounties to encourage agriculture or for any other purpose they pleased. If such a power had been possessed by that body, it would have been much less impotent or have borne a very difficult character from that universally ascribed to it. The novel idea, how now annexed to those terms and never before entertained by the friends or enemies of the government, will have a further consequence which cannot have been taken into the view of the gentlemen. Their construction would not only give Congress the complete legislative power I have stated, it would do more. It would supersede all the restrictions understood at present to lie in their power with respect to a judiciary. It would put it in the power of Congress to establish courts throughout the United States with cognizance of suits between citizen and citizen, and in all cases whatsoever. This, sir, seems to be a demonstrable, if for the clause in question really authorizes Congress to do whatever they think fit, provided be for the general welfare of which they are to judge and money can be applied to it, Congress must have power to create and support a judiciary establishment with a jurisdiction extending to all cases favorable in their opinion to the general welfare in the same manner as they have power to pass laws and apply money, providing in any other way for the general welfare. And then he says this, I shall be reminded perhaps that according to the terms of the Constitution, the judicial powers is extended to certain cases only, not to all cases. But this circumstance, he goes on and says, but this circumstance can have no effect in the argument, it being presupposed by the gentleman that the specification of certain objects does not limit the import of the general terms. Taking these terms as an abstract and indefinite grant of power, they comprise all the objects of legislative regulation as well as fall under the judiciary article in the Constitution as those falling immediately under the legislative article. And if the partial enumeration of objects in the legislative article does not, as these gentlemen contend, limit the general power, neither will it limit the partial enumeration of objects in the judiciary article. Wow. So he just basically points out that by just going down this path, it gives Congress and the judiciary a great extension, an unlimited extension of power. When you start looking at the general defense and welfare, the only thing that constrained the United States, and as a matter of fact, this is one of those things that was quickly as fast as Congress could. And see, here's the problem, folks. Every time America had a need and Congress said, hey, we're going to violate the Constitution to take care of your need, America. We're going to go over here and bail out these people that were devastated by this hurricane. We're going to go and help these people that were just wiped out by all of these tornadoes and these terrible storms or an earthquake. The federal government never once did that. It's only when the federal government became so unconstrained and when they had the power to actually create money. Let me explain this. Prior to 1971, Congress just couldn't create money. They had to have some form of gold or silver deposited for every dollar they created. So, in other words, they were held to a physical backing of precious metals to ascertain and to guarantee that that money actually existed. Instead, they moved us away from this whole concept of a limited. So the reason why the government just wasn't going so crazy with the debt was due to the fact that there was some forcing of maintaining a relationship of gold to dollars. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so moving on, and I hope you're starting to understand how he's revealing the problems. I mean, there was a huge difference, folks, from the type of government that Britain had and our government. The power remained in the people's hands in a republican form of government, the way ours was designed, by separations of power and by checks and balances and a distribution of that power that would make it closest to the people. In other words, at the federal level, the power was very, very constrained to very certain objects. At the state level, the state then had unlimited powers for itself, but not itself as a state, but for the people. In other words, your state government was the general government of the counties. The counties created the state. They basically delegated very specific power, and they made a huge mistake as they started creating the constitutions for these states, because they granted way too many powers to the state government instead of creating most of those powers for the county, and made the state government the administrative support for the county government. So here would lie, and I'm going to just kind of explain this to you real quick, that if you didn't delegate power to the state government to create health standards, then it would be up to each county to create their own health standards and collaborate on, you know, what they would consider to be the best, leaving to their discretion what they needed to do. This would have kept the state from being able to dictate and mandate the state ran, because all of a sudden it creates state coffers, a state bureaucracy, and all of these other costs. It actually starts creating and elevating and inflating the cost of health care. So what would have been better is allowing the counties to have all that power and then using the state as strictly an administrative assistance in either providing some level of, I'll just say taxation for some level of general communications between the counties, of establishing some limitations on health care as well as standards and those types of things. This way, you would actually have more control over everything that affects your everyday life right there in your county, and the state is literally the facilitator for your county government. See, we've got it all backwards. We keep on allowing the lust and the avarice of government in a larger body to be able to have more power, when we actually want to have all of the power as close to us as possible. Jefferson highlighted this. This was the beautiful thing about America, that we had this distributive political power availed to us within this Constitution. So anyway, let me get back to the cod fishery bounties here. There are consequences, sir, still more extensive, which, as they follow clearly from the doctrine combated, must be either admitted or the doctrine must be given up. In other words, hey, you have to admit that, you know, here is the real danger, and if you don't, then we're going to call you out, but you must give this up. Now, this is what he says. If Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. I'm stopping right there. That right there was an open double-handed slap on both sides of everybody's face in that room. If you really want to wake people up, then all of a sudden, because they all people in America realized that the government was not to regulate religion. And right here, he hit him with a big whammy. Wow. If the general government solely and indefinitely, or actually he says here, if Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands, and they may establish teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing a like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads, in short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every object I have mentioned would admit the application of money, and I might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. Folks, what he just basically said is you open up, you go down this can of worms and say they have this power, then voila. It will, and he basically spells out exactly what they're going to do by using this power, and they're doing it, folks. Was this prophetic? Or was this man so attuned to understanding the implications that that's what happened? And so here's the interesting thing. They came from a government system that had these powers, and they basically did control religion. They did control the education. They did, you know, control all of these things. And it all had to do with the application of money, and the sovereign, the king, and parliament basically controlled and controls the general welfare of Britain. So moving on, Madison then goes into this. The language held in various discussions of this house is a proof that the doctrine in question was never entertained by this body. Arguments, wherever the subject would permit, have constantly been drawn from the peculiar nature of this government as limited to certain enumerated powers, instead of extending, like other governments, to all cases not particularly excepted. In a very late instance, I mean the debate on the representation bill, it must be remembered that an argument much used, particularly by a gentleman from Massachusetts, against the ratio. Now, so we've been talking about this 30,000, right? The 30,000 people for each person. Okay, so here he's exposing that there was an argument about this. And so he says, by a gentleman from Massachusetts against the ratio of 1 for 30,000 was that this government was unlike the state government, which had an indefinite variety of objects within their power, that it had a small number of objects to attend to, therefore that a smaller number of representatives would be sufficient to administer it. So, in other words, somebody was arguing that they didn't need as many legislators for the people. They could reduce that. In other words, it was the argument coming out of Massachusetts to say, you know, we could go to 100,000 people per representative. Now, just remember the tone and the paradigm of America that I laid out when we talked about the two parties. What was the paradigm of those politicians of the North? They were the big government paradigm. And they wanted to see, you know, this aggrandizing of power and centralizing power and reducing representation. And so the whole point I'm trying to prove here is there is such divine insight in the fact that they included the amount of number, or the precise number of how many people deserve representation. So if you go to a stadium that has 100,000 people, there would be then a representation of four representatives in Congress. Because if you've got three for the 90, you'd have to have another representative for the 10. So you could always just play with the numbers down to 25 each, but they cannot exceed, the language of the Constitution is a representative cannot exceed the number of 30,000 to represent. How in the heck did we get to where we are? So isn't it beautiful that this one document covers some very specific and important principles that we have completely lost sight of as a society and as a people? This is what happens when you lose sight of the enumerated powers paradigm and you start expanding upon the Bill of Rights, the restraints of powers, and that's how you easily start opening yourself up to general powers. That's how the federal government has been assuming general powers all of this time. So folks, when we come back, we've got some more to go through. We should be wrapping this up because it's just a couple more paragraphs. But bottom line, you know, this is just awesome. I'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there's just two paragraphs left to go through. So let me just kind of finish these off, and then I might wander down a quick rat hole. Arguments have been advanced to show that because in the regulation of trade, this is again, it's Madison, arguments have been advanced to show that because in the regulation of trade, indirect and eventual encouragement is given to manufacturers, therefore Congress have power to give money in direct bounties or to grant it in any other way that would answer the same purpose. But surely, if there is a great and obvious difference, which it cannot be necessary to enlarge upon, a duty laid upon imported implements of husbandry would in its operation be an indirect tax on exported produce. But will anyone say that by virtue of a mere power to lay duties on imports, Congress may go directly to the produce or implements of agriculture or to the articles exported? It is true, duties on exports are expressly prohibited. In other words, for the federal government to tax what you produce is prohibited. But now what they're doing is they're taxing your income because businesses and corporations are considered people. They have basically bamboozled us. That's the best term. They have basically, through duplicity, you know, getting us to go down this path, and they're exploiting us to the T. But anyway, so it is true, duties on exports are expressly prohibited, but if there were no article forbidding them, a power directly to tax imports could never be deduced from a power to tax imports. Although such a power might indirectly and incidentally affect exports. In short, sir, without going further into the subject, which I should not have here touched on at all, but for the reasons already mentioned, I venture to declare it is my opinion that were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundation and transmute the very nature of the limited government established by the people of America, and what we inference might be drawn or what consequences ensue from such a step is it is incumbent on us all well to consider. So if you can kind of understand, you know, having this man in the government service was constantly just reeling back and trying to pull back on the reins of all of these people that were just saying, you know, because they were ignorant. Now, one of the rat holes I want to go down is, what do you believe would Madison say as he saw how illiterate or how poorly many of these men in service understood the Constitution? I believe that had Madison might have thought about this, I believe that he probably could have made the case in his time to actually create standards and tests so that every person going into public service would understand that there were no implied powers, that you couldn't, you know, redefine the Constitution other than, you know, redefining, you know, there's no redefining. I've tried to go down this path and maybe you could do it, but there is none other than the definitions provided by the states. If Congress doesn't understand what they should constitutionally do, is they should go back to the states and say, hey, we've got a question here. What do you want us to do regarding this? Instead, their paradigm is we possess power and we must exert power. We cannot, defer. We can't defer to, because they viewed themselves as the superior power, because that supremacy clause kind of planted that seed in their heads. And it plants the seed in everybody's heads that the federal government is supreme. No. They're only supreme over those things that are enumerated and within their authority based on those enumerated powers in the Constitution. All other things, they are not supreme. They have no, I mean, it's like, it's not within their ability to reach, touch, or be involved in. As Nicholas said, they cannot meddle with it. Now, there were problems with the states and state governments. And so this is one of the reasons why we, you know, saw with the Bill of Rights and so forth, the need to, you know, because Madison pointed out, hey, the states are more of a problem here. They're the ones that, you know, have more to do with your knickers and so forth. But anyway, as we kind of started going down this path of this, you know, this concept, you know, of limited powers, enumerated powers, and so forth, there's no doubt in my mind, had Madison become a champion for national standards on public service, that would have been a huge paradigm shift. In other words, you can't be a public servant if you do not understand the Constitution, because your legal obligation is to supporting that Constitution. It would have kept people at bay, because what Madison could have said every time people started wandering, he could have said, hey, are you that illiterate on the Constitution? How did you get into public service? How did you pass that test? Did you cheat? And that right there would start impugning the character, the honor, and the integrity of many of these gentlemen in public service. I mean, it would make them feel like they're being, and they rightfully so, they should have been attacked. Folks, we have public servants today that are so illiterate. I mean, not only illiterate, they're absolutely waging warfare. AOC and her gang of communists, or Elon, Olan, or whatever, you know, all of those communists, all of those Democrats that are supporting communism to any degree, how in the heck is it that they can withstand and be actually a public servant? They're committing rebellion against the Constitution in a way that will destroy our republic. They're contributing to our own destruction and waging warfare against us. So what is it going to take? You know, I said this yesterday, and I need to say this more often. If not you, then who? Who is it that's going to take a stand if you don't? And if not now, when? Are you going to take a stand when it's too late? Are you going to take a stand when they finally seize their power? Or are you going to take a stand now to keep them, to basically put them on their heels? Remember, folks, the best defense is a good offense. Keeping your offense on the field and keeping your enemy on the heels, because we do have enemies against the Constitution, both foreign and domestic. And we are all, under that oath of a citizen, under that birthright responsibility as a citizen, we are all to defend our Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So, with that, I've basically got 2 minutes. And so we'll dive into the paragraph, or actually the essay on property. It's not a paragraph, it's several paragraphs. It's about 2 pages. And so we'll read and get into Madison's essay on property tomorrow. I know tomorrow is Feedback Friday. And so if you've got questions or anything, hit me up quick and hit me up hard, and we'll bring those to the forefront. I know everybody's been very busy with the election and so forth, but I just want to close on this, because it's time we start remembering what the real problems are, or some of the key contributors for the problems to persist and be maintained. The parties are the problem. Remember, metaphorically, I have this image of the Constitution at the top of the mountain. This Constitution can govern all people, can allow all states who love liberty to actually become a part of it. There are certain religious paradigms, such as communism, that is not compatible. Religious paradigms like Islam, that is not compatible. They are enemies of the Constitution. You can't love two separate masters that are actually diametrically opposed. Liberty and subjugation. So when we start looking at the application of the Constitution, almost every nation except for those Islamic states and those communistic states where people, you know, believe in compulsion and slavery, those types of things, slavery to the state, then, you know, they've got to change their culture, and they have to do it on their own. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. www.republic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.